The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute, locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Taya.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. And today, as we continue to weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the rich history, services, and current ministries, and the people of St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish on Cleveland's Near West Side. Well, the church building and parish truly serve as a landmark. You might recognize it if you travel I-90. When you look south near the West Boulevard exit, you know, you can't miss the 200-foot bell tower, which is recognized as an official City of Cleveland landmark. Well, the parish itself is a Catholic institutional landmark. Established as a parish in 1901 to accommodate a booming population growth on the city's west side. And the parish continues to serve the needs of many new congregants with an active elementary school and other programs that serve the community. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and vibrancy of St. Ignatius of Antioch is Father Kevin Esterbrook, the pastor, and Mary Hanagoski, longtime parishioner and the parish council president. And Father Kevin, first, just for the record, in order to avoid any confusion, now St. Ignatius Parish and the Jesuit-run St. Ignatius High School, both located on the near west side of Cleveland, are really not directly associated. Is that correct?
That's right, Bob. In fact, there are two different St. Ignatiuses, of course. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits living in the 16th century, and our St. Ignatius of Antioch from the first century.
There we are. So, distinctly different institutions. Now, I found it interesting that a private company, the Lorraine Street and Denison Land Company, actually donated the land on Lorraine for the first church. So, we're going back to the early 1900s.
The turn of the 20th century, that's right. I don't have a lot of information about what the Lorraine Street and Denison Land Company was, but I can tell you they donated a very beautiful piece of farmland to the diocese.
And that really led to, and you're right, and at that time it was truly farmland as the city was beginning to just develop on that end of town.
In fact, I have a beautiful passage written by Monsignor Albert Murphy. He wrote on the parish's 50th anniversary about this beautiful piece of land. I'd like to share it.
Sure, please.
In 1953, he writes, 50 years ago, a person standing on the current site of St. Ignatius of Antioch Church, you would see nothing but fields of high corn. Looking northward, you'd see the surrounding woods sloping down to the shores of Lake Erie. The territory was for the most part farmlands situated outside the city limits of Cleveland. When one sees now the splendid church today, an enduring island in a river of endless city traffic, and one realizes the complexity of this great parish, one wonders what strange alchemy it was that produced it from the ingredients of the simple life of 50 years ago.
Boy, that is beautifully done and gives us a little insight on where we were in 1903 or roughly that time period in the city of Cleveland. Education, I know, has been a major role of this institution on the near west side of Cleveland. And today, you still have an elementary school operating pretty vibrantly from everything I understand. But tell us a little bit about that, going back to the orders of sisters that came in and what transpired there.
Well, from the beginning, the elementary school was an integral part of the parish. The school opened in January 4th, 1904, right after the founding of the parish, with Sister Helen Sonhalter, a sister of St. Joseph. And those sisters of St. Joseph served the parish for the next 95 years. The last religious sister in the school was Sister Teresine Cragen, a sister of St. Joseph, who is also a sister of one of our diocesan priests, Father Cragen. Mm. And the school continues to be an important ministry of the parish, serving children from within and outside of the neighborhood. We're happy to report that our enrollment is the highest it's been in about 5 years, with 271 children enrolled on the first day of school.
Very good. So that is a vibrant place and a special need, I think, you know, in that neighborhood. As a city parish, you've seen, I think, over that nearly 100 years, a real evolution in the demographics of the parish membership. Has that not been the case?
Yes and no. St. Ignatius was never an ethnic parish, per se. It was always a place where Catholics from across the demographic spectrum could practice their faith. That continued throughout the changes of the last 60 years with the construction of I-90 and the busing situation. But it continues to be a place where Catholics from all walks of life continue to practice their faith, and those Catholics live both within and outside of our parish boundaries, coming from the surrounding suburbs to worship in our beautiful church. But when speaking about the demographics of the neighborhood, yes, that has changed drastically, going from nearly 100% Catholic, especially in the golden age of the parish, where a bus would go from house to house to bring parishioners to Mass, to now well under about 25% Catholic within the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So you're drawing some of the alumni, if you will, coming in from suburbia and so forth still to attend, which gives a lot of credibility to what's happened there. Well, coming up, St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish, a very special place serving the community in a variety of ways. And we're going to talk to our other guest, Mary Hanagoski. She's a longtime member, and there's a lot of insight to be learned about how this parish has survived so well and its activities and what it has offered to the community. And we'll do so coming up on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock. Today on Where We Worship, we look at the rich history, services, and current ministries, and the people of St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish on Cleveland's Near West Side. Father Kevin, tell us about your music ministry and its leadership at the parish.
Our music ministry is a very important facet of our parish life. Even during this time of social distancing, we continue to provide beautiful music for liturgies on our gorgeous organ. In recent years, our current director of music, Mr. Jason Lewis, has worked very hard to build up our choir. Weekly, we have a wonderful violinist who accompanies our highly skilled group of cantors. Because we have such wonderful acoustics, not to mention one of the most beautiful churches in the diocese, we've had visiting choirs wanting to come and offer concerts in the parish. So choirs including the Cleveland Chamber Choir, the Cleveland Men's Chorus, Choir Cleveland, the choir from Oberlin College have given special concerts at Christmas and throughout the year, and also organ concerts and recitals. Mr. Lewis has organized Taizé prayer services, which are offered a few times a year, which have been live streamed even during COVID, to gather parishioners and the people and this beautiful and prayerful song.
Tell us a little bit about getting all those requests to perform. Tells me a lot about the interior of your church. Mm-hmm. And it's, as you said, one of the most beautiful. Give us a little bit of an idea of what we would see.
Oh, my goodness. The art and architecture of St. Ignatius make it a true gem in the Diocese of Cleveland. The current church, it's not the original church built by the first pastor. As the congregation grew during the 10s and 1920s, the second pastor, Father Tom Hanneran, sailed to Europe in order to visit the churches and cathedrals of Europe in search of ideas and details to be incorporated into the new church. So he was greatly impressed by St. Paul outside the walls of Rome and the Roman basilicas, and you can certainly see the influences of the Roman basilicas on St. Ignatius. Additionally, Father Hanneran visited the Gothic cathedrals of France, from which he obtained the design for our magnificent stained glass windows. And you'll also see some Byzantine and Middle Eastern influences in honor of St. Ignatius of Antioch, our parish patron, who was from Syria before his martyrdom in Rome.
Boy, that is really, well, it's a lot to see if one is able to attend. Plus, as you mentioned, you've got the acoustical dynamics, which are very, very accommodating to music, and that really makes it one wonderful worship space. Let's talk about a little bit about how the parish, we're talking about St. Ignatius of Antioch off of West Boulevard in Cleveland, and how it was able to incorporate itself so well in the community. I'm going to turn to our other guest, Mary Hanagoski. And Mary, as a veteran of the parish and knowing its history, I guess that we move from this great church space and this wonderful music into the realm of athletics to talk about how the church as a community really functioned and has so well. Give us a little insight on that.
Well, St. Ignatius started an intramural basketball and football program way back in the 60s, and that program had 18 football teams that played every Saturday, and the coaches were from the parish. They were young men who had grown up in the church and in the school, and they volunteered and practiced 4 or 5 nights a week and then played every Saturday at Thrush Park. And we had uniforms and helmets, and it was a dynamic time.
Mary, I have to ask you, so that our listeners know, this is beyond CYO, as we know CYO. This was strictly internal, within the parish.
The school was so large, and there were so many boys that wanted to play football that they were able to have that many teams playing from the school. So that Frank Solich, who is currently the coach of Ohio University, was someone who played in that program.
Oh, that's right. And he went on. He was an All-American at Nebraska and so forth, right, and has been a legendary coach.
Right. We're very proud of that, that we were able to do that. And we continued that program in basketball. So we developed a basketball program. Currently, it's from second grade all the way through eighth grade. Initially, it was just our students at St. Ignatius, and then in the 80s, we opened it up to students from the entire community. So now kids from all over the community are able to play basketball.
So they come in and they play in the St. Ignatius of Antioch intramural program, and this is really an outreach to the neighborhood.
Right.
That's pretty accommodating, to say.
Right, and
we're
really proud of the fact that we're keeping these young men and girls and boys, because it's an intramural program that reaches both boys and girls, that we're keeping them safe and in a place where they can play basketball. The coaches are, you know, Virtus trained, and we try to maintain that it's a faithful-based program. But the kids learn basketball and fundamental how to be fair. And it's a wonderful program. We have kids who have gone off to play at colleges. You know, we currently have somebody who's playing at NC State that played in our league, somebody who's playing at UNLV. So it's a very competitive program, too.
And, you know, I look at it and I go, to run a program like that within a parish, and Father, I guess maybe you would probably, well, Mary, you're on parish council. It's not cheap. I mean, it takes some real effort financially to be able to support a program like this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. It takes. The league fundraises, and they have a big fundraising event once a year, Night at the Races, and that basically keeps it going. And we don't charge a great deal of money to play in the league because many of these kids are coming from poorer families, and so we want to make it affordable for everyone. Yeah. But it's very important that the kids have a place to go every day and be safe.
How do we name this? This is the St. Ignatius Intramural Program?
It's called the IBA.
The IBA.
Right.
Okay. Well, very good. But that is really, and talk about outreach by a parish to the whole community. That's pretty extraordinary. Well, we will talk some more about St. Ignatius, and we'd like to talk about current ministries and activities and liturgies, all those dynamics to a parish, coming up on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. And you're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this September 2020 broadcast is St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish on Cleveland's Near West Side. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are St. Ignatius pastor, Father Kevin Estabrook, and joining us as well, Mary Hanagoski, who's a veteran parishioner and parish council president. Well, first, as our lives have been turned upside down by this pandemic, I know the work of the parish has to continue, but how have you gone about doing so, Father?
Well, very soon after lockdown, we knew that we had to reach out to our parishioners, ensuring that they were okay, gathering in prayer and soliciting their continued support for the parish. So we sent out letters right there at the beginning of lockdown and asked parishioners to also fill out and return census cards. And those cards were then utilized by myself and members of the parish council and finance council to reach out directly to the homebound, just to keep that sense of community and togetherness and prayer throughout the lockdown. We've also been live streaming masses starting on Easter Sunday, and we continue to live stream masses every Saturday evening, and that live stream is available on our parish Facebook page. We've also returned to our regular liturgical schedule, as did a lot of parishes, on Pentecost Sunday. The Friends and Parishioners of St. Ignatius responded amazingly to the request for financial need of the parish during lockdown, and so they've been dropping off envelopes at the parish office or mailing them in and utilizing online giving. I think we doubled our weekly online giving amount since COVID, so that's very positive.
It is. No, that's very good. We'll move to Let's Pray Normal Times, and let's talk a little bit about any special or unique ministries that you'd like to highlight at St. Ignatius.
Well, one of our unique ministries comes out of the Church in the City program established back during the episcopacy of Bishop Pilla. St. Ignatius at that time was partnered with St. Ladislaus Parish out in Westlake, and that relationship endures to this day. Every month, on the first and third Wednesday of the month, St. Ladislaus offers a community meal. Up until COVID, that meant an opportunity for folks from the neighborhood to come together and sit down and have a good hot meal together. St. Lad also offers a food pantry on the second Tuesday of the month and serves hundreds of people every month. Both programs have resumed, though because of social distancing, they currently run out of the parish parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all right. As long as the parking lot's plenty full and plenty wide, you're good, right?
Also, because of the growing need of the growing number of Catholics who are devoted to the traditional Mass on the Monday of every week, Monday evening at 5:30 p.m., we've begun an extraordinary form Mass, and we hope that will be an opportunity, again, for Catholics to come together and pray.
That's interesting to me. So the Latin Mass returns. It'll be Monday evenings, Father.
At 5:30 p.m. in the church.
And I'm just curious, what kind of dynamic came into play there to have you suddenly, you know, move to that?
Well, I tried it as an experiment after coming back from the pandemic. We offered an extraordinary form Mass on the Ember Day after Pentecost, and it was extremely well attended. So I brought this successful liturgy to the parish council, and we talked about it and thought that maybe we can offer it on a regular basis.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Mary, I turn to you. I know there are some very special activities that take place, and I think one that you have as far as the Legion of Mary, that's part of the program?
The Legion of Mary is an organization that started a few years before Father came, and it's still highly successful and meets weekly in the church. I think it's Mondays at 9:30, and they're very devoted to Mary. And then we also have the Garden Club. It's a dynamic group of people who are busy planning and planting and doing all of the landscaping for the parish. And they fundraise, and they are a very social group of people. They love to garden, and they love to get together. So they are a very busy group. They work year-round planning and planting.
Boy, in this day and age of the COVID pandemic, I know gardening in particular has become a major avocation for a lot of people. Have you seen an increase even in your garden club?
Yes, we have. People have joined, and they thoroughly enjoy it, and they just love seeing the parish thrive with flowers and color. So they're enjoying it very much.
Oh, that's very good. You know, just a reminder for those traveling down I-90 or Lorraine Avenue around West Boulevard, the Bell Tower is a wonderful Cleveland landmark, and it's truly an official landmark of the city. And a reminder to everyone about God's presence, is it not, Father, when, you know, we see it?
Yes, Bob, the 240-foot bell tower, the tallest in the diocese, is a symbol, of the Christian faith, that Christ is our hope, that Christ is our light, and that Christians and the church must be present in the city. You know, for in Scripture, the city is always a place where there exists a confluence of forces, both good and evil, and Christ invites people of goodwill amidst those forces to believe in him, to follow him, and to witness in him. So yes, a very important reminder of God's presence.
Amen. That's really quite an edifice you have there. When we consider the bell tower, as I said, it looks over the west side of the city. And then as you had described, the interior and even the acoustical value of St. Ignatius of Antioch, it really is quite a place. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship, and this is your host, Bob Tayak. Now, this presentation featuring St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish on Cleveland's Near West Side, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic faith. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.